Hello, and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on Lin-Manuel Miranda musicals. I am Noah, and I am joined today by my co-host,
Kayla.
Wow. I'm trying to think of like an opening bit here, but...
We are not in the Heights.
No, we're not. We're not in New York. We're not in the city. We're probably in the farthest from the Heights you could get. Not like location-wise, but vibe-wise and the way the town is that I live in. It's like as far away from that as you could probably get.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, this definitely, like, this isn't really talking about the movie, but it made me wish I knew more people in I guess, because it was like they were vibing a lot, you know. It was a time.
It makes you wish you had a community and
friends
and could actually,
like, when she came home from college and they were all like welcoming her home, I was like, wow, this is really nice.
Yeah, and imagine. Even like COVID has just thrown all that out the window, so like large groups of people, right. It's like, what is that? An alien
I've never
concept.
Seen this before. So yeah, today we're talking about In the Heights, which is the first musical from Lin-Manuel Miranda. Obviously, his second one was Hamilton. No one's ever heard of that one though, so we're just gonna skim past it and just, you know, talk about In the Heights, which I think we both have pretty differing histories with this play. I know, like, obviously there's some people that have like been fans of it from the beginning. Did you only find out about this after you discovered Hamilton? Was that how it went?
No, I feel like I discovered them around the same time.
Okay.
I don't remember ever. I mean, I'm sure I probably heard about Hamilton first just because it was really big. But I may have even listened to all of In the Heights before I listened to all of Hamilton. It's very, you know, muddled memories. But during college was when I would have listened to both of them all the way through.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm as far out of the theater community zeitgeist as you could get. I have literally no idea. I don't know what plays are popular now. I don't know anything. Obviously not right now, but I only heard of it after listening to Hamilton. And it was like I never listened to this play. I didn't know anything about it going into this movie. Well, I knew like kind of like the setting, I guess, but I didn't really know about the characters, what the story was about. I obviously knew kind of what the music was supposed to be because I knew it was a precursor to Hamilton, but I hadn't listened to it because I just feel I don't like listening to Broadway or musical songs that I don't know the story from. So with Hamilton, I think it's different because obviously the songs are the only thing really in the play. So you get the entire story from that. I don't like Broadway songs enough to listen to them out of context or when I don't know the context. So I never was like, I never got on the train, the In the Heights train. So I didn't know any of the songs or anything going in. But going in, I mean, I didn't have like high expectations. I had seen some good reviews before. And I know this is kind of like the first Oscar movie. The first official, like, one that they're saying could be an Oscar contender.
Yeah, right.
So I was excited going in, but I wasn't, like, I don't know. I didn't have either a high or low expectation going in. It was a very rare moment where I really didn't know what my reaction was going to be, which is very rare, like I said, like, now when it's pretty hard not to know or a lot about a movie before you go to see it.
Yeah, I think for me, I, like, didn't, like, I've listened to it, but I didn't really remember a lot of the plot. Like, I remembered some of the, like, bigger songs or the kind of catchier songs that stick in your head, but going in, I wasn't like, oh, I'm so excited for this story or like for these characters or for this music. I mean, I was, you know, looking forward to it as something that would be an exciting kind of big blockbuster, lots of stuff going on. So I guess that was kind of my expectation. I wasn't like expecting it to be this big thing or, you know, bad. I just was like, oh, this will be a fun time.
Yeah, and I think because it's been also a long time since we've gotten a musical, and we don't really get them a lot. Besides, like, I don't count Disney movies as musicals. I'm sorry. Like, that doesn't count for me. This is, like, a very traditional Hollywood musical. Maybe the filmmaking style is obviously more modern, but in terms of the storytelling, it's pretty traditional, like, musical.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also exciting because it's, like, we haven't seen this in a while. And obviously, if this does well, and then West Side Story is also this year, I think there's a couple other musicals. This could potentially spawn, like, a second, I don't know about second, but, like, another wave of musicals.
Which we've talked about before. I don't remember when.
I don't remember.
But we talked about it a long time ago. I feel like over a year ago, where we said that with, like, the craze that followed The Greatest Showman, and even the craze that followed La La Land as well, is that people crave movies like this because they're fun, you know, they're different. People love music like this. And I think it'll be interesting because after the success of The Greatest Showman, I think a lot of people will be developing more musicals.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see more original musicals instead of
like built for the movie.
I mean, In the Heights is fun, of course, but it's like that's something that's been around. Dear Evan Hansen has been around.
There was a trailer for that before this movie.
Oh really?
It was like 3 minutes long.
It's a long trailer.
Dear Lord, I feel like I've already seen the movie.
You know, West Side Story is a remake.
So it's interesting. Yeah, I think because I maybe misspoke earlier or just want to clarify, like, I don't dislike listening to musical music. I just don't really like it when I don't know the story because that's kind of like half of what I like about musicals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I meant saying that. Like, I love a good musical. I'm not against musicals. And then once I watch it, then I like listening to the music because I already have, like, the connection. It's kind of, for me, like, if I listened to a movie score without watching the movie, I just wouldn't have any emotional attachment to the music because I don't know what... that's just not the way I like to consume the music. Only my second movie back in theaters. So, fun. It was, like, 2 p.m., though, so it was not an ideal time to see this in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
But so last time with The Quiet Place, we did the spoiler free and then the spoiler filled question mark.
Mm-hmm.
What's the opposite of spoiler free? Like
spoilers,
full of spoilers, spoiler, 100% spoilers. So we'll do that probably too. I don't know like how much there really is to spoil here besides maybe like the ending, quote unquote twist. But we'll do our best to not give away too much in this first section.
Yeah.
So we have a synopsis here. Do you want to read through this? I found this on Google, and I was very impressed by the wording choices. Great job by whoever worked at Google and did the synopsis.
Sure, I'll read it. In Washington Heights, New York, the scent of warm coffee hangs in the air just outside of the 181st Street subway stop where Kaleidoscope of Dreams rallies a vibrant and tight-knit community. At the intersection of it all is a likable and magnetic bodega owner who hopes, imagines, and sings about a better life.
Amazing. I was hoping you were going to read it in a Lin-Manuel Miranda voice, but, you know, that's fine.
In Washington Heights, New York, the scent of warm coffee hangs in the air just outside of... Isn't that, like, his cadence or whatever? In Washington Heights, New York, the scent of warm... Like, he, like... accents one word.
I mean, and he'll, and even when it's a rap, he'll have some note to it, but it's not like notes that
I'm not
really
very
work
good
together.
At like actual voice imitations though.
So in Washington Heights, New York, the scent of warm coffee. Hey, yeah, something like that. It's anyway. he's not in this too much, which is he has one
thing.
Song.
It's a good thing.
One song, and it's
he was maybe not... in it too much.
Yeah, but I will say, like, the song they gave him is not one where he needed to do too much. He, like, literally just says the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I guess give him his cameo.
He wrote the music. I can let him have one scene, you know, I'll give it to him. There was actually a lot more Hamilton references in this than I was thinking. There was, like, a little couple little things, and then there was the phone wait music.
Yeah, the hold music, yeah.
That was also, I wasn't expecting that, but this was a little history lesson. It was originally going to be adapted in 2008 with Kenny Ortega hired to direct.
Oh my gosh, that would have been iconic.
It would have been so good.
Our king, Kenny.
Kenny dropped it though. Maybe it was for the best, you know, I trust him. And then the project started back up in 2016, obviously, when Hamilton got big and there was like that explosion of, okay, we have to do all of this stuff now with the music and the plays. And John M. Chu was set to direct, and Anthony Ramos was cast in 2018. It's interesting looking at John's filmography because he has the two Step Up movies, which are musicals. And then he has obviously some random ones, but his big one was his last movie, which was Crazier Rich Asians, which... What are your thoughts on that movie?
I think it's like a 3-star movie for me.
That's exactly what I gave it.
I've seen it like 3 times though.
Oh my gosh.
Just because that's a no. Like I watched it on an airplane. I watched it with my grandma. Like it just was one of those movies that was like, oh, yeah, this is a good like group movie or family movie.
Yeah.
Don't love it, don't hate it. Mm. Like I'm on the in between. Like I like the story, same, but I don't love the way that it was made, I guess.
Yeah, and interestingly, even though this is obviously a very different movie from Crazy Rich Asians, I have a lot of the same technical issues with In the Heights that I do with Crazy Rich Asians, which is it's very just basic and bland in like its cinematography and even the colors, which I was really hoping that this movie would be more colorful in the Heights. And I just feel like the color palette was too muted for a musical. And also one weird thing was like, I have issues with sometimes how movie musicals are shot. Cause I think it's really hard to shoot them to capture the energy of having a lot of people. And I feel like they shoot so much of this movie like waist up on the characters, sometimes even like midriff up, and it's just like,
yeah, there's a lot of punch-ins,
so tight, and I want like the breathing room of the dance numbers,
yeah, and actually like see the dance numbers, because when you look at old Hollywood movie musicals, a lot of those are, there's not a lot of cuts or editing in them because they're really made to just show off those dance numbers. So when you look at something like Singing in the Rain, the whole time you're watching them dance with their feet and it's like super wide, you're seeing the whole room. And I think we don't get enough of that in movie musicals. I know that was one of the main problems I had with Mary Poppins Returns. Is there were some really cool, like the chimney sweep number, I think it was. I was like, this dancing is really cool, but, like, I want to see the dancing. Like, I don't want these, you know, medium or close-up shots. Like, I want to see the wide shots and the overhead shots and, you know, the actual choreography that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I think it's, like, they try to take the... Because that's very modern movie language, at least, well, like... popular movie language, and so I think they try to take that and then apply it to the musical, but I don't think it really works, especially in the musical setting. And I wonder if it has something to do with the original, not original, but old classic musicals in Hollywood were built and shot on sound stages, and so it's kind of like made for that with the big,
well,
like,
I think
wide
some
shots.
Of this was shot on sound stages.
Some of it was, but I believe a lot was shot in, like, the city itself, which is cool that they shot part of it on location. But I think, like, the, like you said, a lot of the emphasis in the old movie musicals was on the dancing and the singing and just the numbers. And so they kind of, like, built their, the movie around those more, even mm-hmm. like the sets around those. So that's maybe less of like a legitimate complaint and more just like what I don't like in musicals is that kind of style. We don't have to talk like super plot heavy about it, but we can talk if you have any thoughts on this, the music, because obviously that's a big part. So like the songs themselves.
Yeah, I thought that they were pretty good. Obviously it, they cast a lot of people who are real life singers, which I think was a major benefit to them, because a lot of musicals or musicals that we've seen, like you look at something like Les Mis, where they cast actors and not singers.
Major
and
L for that,
that
one.
That was like one of the major complaints about it, you know, and one of the things that's lasted when you think about that movie. And I think with this, they did a good job of casting people that can act. I wouldn't say that they were the best performances I've seen, but they were cast for their singing voices as well, or maybe even first before their acting. And I think that really benefited a lot of it. I think part of the problem, and maybe this is even just on Lynn's writing in general, because this is some of the problem I have with Hamilton, is it's just all so similar. Like, a lot of the songs feel exactly the same. Like, they're in the same tone. Like, it feels like Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know? Like,
like, where he can sing, because he's obviously writing. When you write for your range. But it's like he didn't, like, transpose them.
There's not a lot of variation, and I think it's different in a Broadway show where you're watching live performers with like a live orchestra compared to when you're watching it on a movie screen and there's not a lot of variation and it's just the same sort of songs over and over and over, and it's shot the same way over and over and over in every sequence. It's like, by the end, it's a little overdone. It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
And that was how I felt, because I really liked the beginning musical numbers, but then by the end, I was like, I'm kind of bored of this music.
Yeah, and there's some standouts. Like, I think 96,000 is, like, the main
best
standout.
Yeah, I agree.
Mostly because I think that one leans the most into the choreography and actually making, like, it visually appealing as well. Like, obviously, there's visual stuff in parts of the other songs, but that one specifically really stands out to me. I disagree about Hamilton. I think Hamilton music is pretty...
I think Hamilton is better than this, but I do think it falls prey to a little bit of the same thing.
Yeah, definitely some of the songs, like some of the shorter ones. But with Hamilton, I can... Well, obviously now I remember all of the songs, but even after like a first listen, there's songs that stick out and songs that I can sing back, in motifs that I remember. I could not tell you a single song from this movie. Like, I can tell you the names, but I don't remember any melody. Nothing stuck with me walking out of the theater. In my car afterwards, I was trying to recall melodies. I don't remember any of it. It just wasn't memorable for me.
Yeah, it blends together.
Like, there's no standout melodic line, which I think is a big thing with musicals, is to have really strong melodic lines, because that's what's going to propel the song forward and make it stick with you. But with this, it felt, which is not a bad thing necessarily, like, the music was less about, like, oh, fun music, and more just, like, it's part of the language of the film. And it's more just like dialogue with like a beat behind it, rather than just like songs, which I prefer songs. I like songs. But, you know, maybe some people like this better, where it's more just like the background vibe is music, but it's not supposed to be like, okay, new song now. Yeah, I don't know. But that was a big issue for me, was that I just didn't, the songs weren't memorable, which was really disappointing because, like, I don't know. I just love music, and I really, I love the Hamilton music. I think it's fantastic, the music part of it. So that was what I was most looking forward to in this, was like getting some good songs, adding them to playlists, you know, some nice motifs, because that is like a huge part of Hamilton. But yeah, I didn't get any of that here. So I mostly had to stick to the story, which we'll get to. But that was what I had to kind of like revert to, like, okay, I guess I'll focus more on the story than the music.
Mm-hmm. One thing that the whole plot essentially rests on this narration where he's essentially telling a group of kids this story. And the story is the movie. And I know we've talked about narrations before. I didn't love the way this narration was used. But the one thing that I kept thinking the whole time is that these kids are like maybe 5 to 8 years old, the range of these kids that are there. That's what it seemed like to me. And I was like, I'm sorry, but kids this age are not gonna sit here and listen to this whole story and hang on to every word. Like, there is no way in a million years that they would be like, what happened to the lottery ticket? Like, oh, and then, like, I don't remember some of the other things they ask, but I was like, have you ever met a child this age? Like, their attention span is so short. They can't, you know, they're not sitting still. Or if they are, like, they're not hanging on to every word you're saying. You can't. It just, that part to me, I was like, I'm having a really hard time believing the narration because of this.
Interesting. Yeah, that specifically feels like with like a parent's like dream where they're like, when my kid grows up, I'm going to tell them my life story and it's going to inspire them. But it's like, they don't care about your life story. Like, they do, but not for 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
straight.
And not to spoil it, but like, they want to go, they go play at the end. Is their kind of whatever.
They're
and
kids.
I'm like, if the kid has the option to go play and like that is looming right there, like being able to go play with their friends, like they're not going to sit there for 2 hours and listen to you.
Yeah.
Like they're going to want to go play. And I just felt like it broke up a lot of the more like engaging moments. So you're like kind of engaged in the story and then all of a sudden they cut back to him like telling the story.
Talking.
And I was like, don't like this.
Here's the thing. Are you engaged in the story?
No.
Because that's the thing, but where the story really isn't that engaging in the first place. So that makes it even harder to understand the kids are going to pay attention. Because it's like, there's not really, and I like, like vignette style stories. So like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, or just like Dazed and Confused, I guess, is more compact to a day. Do the Right Thing is also compact to the day. Do the Right Thing, I think, actually has a lot of similarities to this because it's on a block in New York in the summer. But with this one, I just felt like there wasn't enough of a through line to keep me invested in, like, throughout the individual moments. Because in a vignette style story, I feel like you need to have one main element. And I think the main element for them was Usnavi, like him trying to get to Puerto Rico?
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic, yeah. But that was like the main thing, was like that's his dream, and he's trying to get there. So even though he already like gets there technically in like the first 20 minutes, so but that's I think like the main thing is like that's what you have to pay attention to. But there wasn't enough of it to keep me invested. And I don't know if that's, I think his performance is fine, so I don't really think it was his fault necessarily.
No, I think that he was definitely one of the better parts of the movie. I think his performance was good and worth noting. I don't think that it being engaging was his fault. I think there wasn't a lot for him to go with. Like,
right.
Even his numbers were like, he had a couple, you know, fun numbers, like 96,000, I thought obviously was a standout number.
I thought the opening number
was also a little more memorable. And, you know, when he's high energy and stuff, I think he works really well. But I think his best moments are not the musical moments. I think they're just when he is kind of interacting with, you know, Vanessa or with Sunny. And it's like...
Yeah.
I think that was where I was like, oh, okay, like his character is kind of interesting. But when it got into the numbers and kind of more the group scenes, I just think the direction was not good. And that
it's all direction for
it
me.
It really fell flat in terms of engaging with his character, connecting with his character, connecting with other characters. Like, it just felt like a lot of copy and paste of the characters to me and not a lot of individual personality coming out of each of the characters.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. Because there are a lot of characters, and so obviously you can't get each one deep into each character in a 2.5-hour movie. But you can add elements to make characters stand out, even in like a 5-second kind of span of time. One positive, you mentioned him a couple of seconds ago, but Sunny killed it. Whoever played that
I
kid.
I told you. I texted you about him fire. Before. Greg, I think his name is Greg Diaz or Diaz.
He was wasn't he in that
he
vampire
was in
movie
Vampires
that you
versus
talked
the
about?
Bronx. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was really, really good in that. And
dude,
heard that he was in this, I texted you about it because I followed him on Instagram and some of those other kids from Vampires versus the Bronx since I watched that movie. Because I was like, oh, these kids are great. They're getting kind of bigger roles. And I was like, gosh, I really hope that this is like his breakout role because he's so talented and deserves to be, you know, with other child actors, you know, as being more renowned, I guess, or his name is more well known. And I was like, I was really hoping that he would be good. And then I was like very impressed by him. So I was so glad that he did so well.
Yeah. And it definitely helps, like you said, that the characters aren't very, like, there's not really another character that is like a scene stealer. They're pretty mellow. And so his character, I think, basically steals the scene in everything he's in.
Yeah, because he just has he's one of the ones, and I don't know if that was his own doing in the way he, you know, presented that character. But just the energy that he brought to each of the scenes, I think really helped. And I think he really, as a supporting character, built up the people around him. So, like, when he was interacting with Anthony Ramos's character, he just was, like, you know, it elevated both of them in the scene.
Yeah, I think he was fantastic. And, like, every scene he was in, like I said, he was what I was focused on, even if he wasn't, like, the main person in the scene. Most of he wasn't because he's a side character. But also, like, in his little story, I thought when he had to give the emotional beats, he also handled those extremely well. So, like, he wasn't just, like, the comedic relief. He also could play, like, I think for me was probably the most emotionally impactful story in the movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think the overarching narrative, like, the very ending did get me emotionally in some ways. But I think the most believable emotional part of the movie was his story and the way he kind of portrayed that. Yeah, he was fantastic. Great, great job by him.
Yeah, I hope that he gets a good career off of this. I hope that we see him more coming up in kind of.
Get him on the pod.
Yeah, let's go. Let's, I mean, hey.
Bro, that'd be fire, actually. Yeah, so there are a lot of plot elements I want to talk about that I think could qualify as spoilers. So trying to, like, think of any final things I'd want to say. I don't think this is giving away, like, I have to get into it more, I'd have to talk with spoilers, but just generally, a big issue kind of relating to my disinterest in the story was the lack of chemistry between Usnavi and Vanessa.
Yeah.
That was a big, because for me, I can buy into basically any romance in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
If there is chemistry, that's like a big weakness of mine. I can just like latch on. It doesn't matter. And so for me, that can make me forgive a lot of issues I have with the movie and almost like raise a movie a whole star sometimes just because I'm so invested in that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me here, there was no chemistry. And I think partially that's just because they don't give them much time together. But also, I do think they didn't have chemistry. I think the scene that they had at the dinner party was absolutely terrible.
It was so bad.
It was maybe the worst scene I've seen in, because like,
I think that there were a couple moments that they worked, and I think that the reason they worked was because of Sunny in those scenes.
Yeah, so, like, Sunny was the glue.
So the only scenes, because I'm thinking now that the scenes I was like, oh, their chemistry works, were scenes in the bodega, and the only reason they worked, or Benny as well.
Yeah, Benny did good too. We hadn't talked about him, but
I think the only reason they worked was because of these supporting characters also in those scenes. I think all the scenes where Usnavi and Vanessa were together, just them, it doesn't work.
It doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't feel like the champagne
scene didn't work.
It's so bad. So awkward. It feels like an Office episode or something.
Like, I think both of them, I think she did a very good job singing on her songs.
Yeah.
I thought she did a good job, like, with the apartment sequence where she was, like, going to the apartment or whatever to check it out to move there. But yeah, all their scenes together were just unfortunately not good. And that makes it so hard to believe in the story or like root for those characters, because the whole story rests on essentially this relationship. In a way, like this relationship weaves through everything in the story. So it's
totally.
Like, if it's not good, then how are you?
We don't care.
Like,
we don't
want it. Didn't care, you know? I really didn't.
Yeah. I think he actually had better chemistry with the actress that played Nina.
Yeah.
I think their chemistry was great. Maybe if they switched roles. So I think part of it maybe is just like sometimes actors don't have chemistry. And part of it, though, I think was, again, the directing was just like
atrocious.
And some of the editing, like, just makes it, like, just made it even worse. And the champagne scene, especially, when they kept cutting to the champagne, I'm like, why are you cutting again? What is happening? It felt like an SNL sketch or something. He's like, I have to open the champagne. I'm like, why?
I'm trying to remember what, that scene was really bad.
That scene and the scene at the dinner party with, like, him and her in the kitchen was
that scene was there, so was bad.
Really bad. And he keeps laughing.
I'm so sorry.
Like,
I like
are you
I
laughing?
Didn't totally hate this movie, but like it was not that kind of stuff was not good.
One thing that
I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you noticed this, but why were there so many CGI birds? Like,
I did not notice.
There were multiple scenes. So one was when Nina and Benny were like at the park, like the basketball courts and the chain linked fence. And this song starts and they're like walking like these birds fly behind them at the beginning of the song.
Yep.
And I'm like, those are not real birds. Like, what? And it happened also at the beginning of the movie, I think, in the first sequence. And then it happened in the Benny-Nina sequence at the end On the like when they're on the side of the wall, which is like the
which
worst.
I do think that
I hated that.
I thought
scene.
That was a cool idea. I have a thought on it too, but I thought it was in concept.
But,
cool, but
there were
continue.
CGI birds there too, yeah. And I was like, yeah. What is the need for these CGI birds?
Yeah, so like I said, in theory, I like the walking. On
I
the
liked
wall. I don't
it
think
in
they,
theory as well.
I don't
think the
they
execution
executed
was
it
good.
Well. And I think that they took you out of the numbers so much because I think they were like overwhelmed with the idea
of
that
musical
oh
numbers?
It's a movie we can well it's a movie we can show backstory we can show other stuff that
we
couldn't
we can
show
add
on stage.
In all these weird little effects of a lightsaber and
yeah and it's like well they have Vanessa's like big like I want number.
Oh,
with
all the
when then it goes,
cloth fabric, like going
you're
over
the cloth
buildings.
Fabric. Yep, and then you have Nina's "I Want" number with it going back to her, like as a kid, and it just takes you out of
yeah.
the movie for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, the cloth thing though was wild.
And
that
like,
was a wild
I
choice.
I think what makes it those so hard to like even digest or even think about digesting is that the CGI was not good. So, like, the CGI yeah. of the cloth was very bad. And then yeah. when they're on the wall in that sequence, like, I think that could have been really cool. But mm-hmm. it felt really flat, for one. And it also, like, just felt off in the way the CGI was. Like, it didn't look
yeah.
right at all. And so it was mm-hmm. hard to be like, oh, I can buy into this. When you're kind yeah. of, like you said, taken out of it a little bit by, I don't know, just how it's executed.
And also, what was the thematic significance? Not to sound, like, pretentious. Like, this is obviously, like, this is not, like, a huge issue. Just thinking out loud. Like, of having them dance on the wall.
I don't
like,
know.
Like, usually, like there's no purpose for them
sure.
to dance on the wall. Like, it just seems like they thought, oh, it's a movie. We have CGI. We can make them dance on the wall. This will be cool. Rather than thinking, like, what would work best
yeah,
for the number itself.
I think it would be more interesting if it transformed a little more. Mm-hmm, like, if they weren't mm-hmm. just on the wall. Like, if it kind of turned yeah. into some form of imaginary world. And there's, like, a moon and stars. And maybe they're... I don't know. I'm just like off the top of my head.
Like an
maybe,
imaginary
like,
world where they could
yeah,
be together.
Maybe they're
you know?
Like,
that was like
in
the
New York and it's nighttime and there's clouds and they're like dancing on the clouds and then their like
wow.
outfits transform. Yeah. Because then it's like it's hard to buy into something unrealistic when you're in a realistic setting. So like them walking on the wall is obviously unrealistic. But they're still in the same setting. And I think it would have yeah. been more interesting if the setting transformed. So then you're kind of more buying into their imaginative experience of like dreaming of being together. Because then you have yeah. the cutaway scene where they're like standing on the window and this family's eating and this kid is like,
oh yeah.
Huh?
That's so weird.
And it's like, what are you trying to achieve? Because you're doing this imaginary or supposedly imaginary sequence, but now this. I don't know. The tone is just off. I guess that's what my main point is.
Yeah.
Is tonally, the scene doesn't work, but I like the idea of
the
scene.
Idea.
And I think
yeah.
that's how
it's
I felt
cool idea.
About the whole movie. Is there's a lot of things that I like the idea of. I just don't think it was done well. Or it just didn't work or it didn't fit. I don't know.
I don't think that the style of like big imaginative creative not creative I guess but like kind of like what we're saying so like dancing on the wall that kind of musical I don't think that works for a story like In the Heights
no because
I haven't seen the musical but what from what I've heard the musical is very like small like the stage is not like it's not like a big production the point is the characters which is why I think 96,000 and whatever the song they sing is right before the blackout ends, I think those two are probably my favorite songs because it's all about the characters and there's nothing crazy going on to take you out of the world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The story itself is so grounded, and I think that's why it feels weird to throw in some of these other elements that maybe they were just like, oh, it's a musical, we need to do this and this and this and this, when it's like, I think just showing off the musical aspect of it in these groups, like in 96,000, where they're swimming and different people are doing different things, I think that that works so much better because it feels as grounded as the characters are. And when you're dealing with, like, I mean, what are a lot of bigger themes? You know, you're looking at
a lot of themes in this,
you know, balancing money and how are these families going to survive, and gentrification in their neighborhood and how they love the heights, and then loss and grief and wanting to follow your
dreams,
your
home,
but feeling,
you know,
stuck.
Yeah, it's
and
there is a lot,
like,
in the movie,
not,
like,
wanting to betray your family, and feeling like you're the one who escaped, not escaped, but you're the one who made it. And it's like,
yeah,
well, what happens if that's not what I want? And, like, then in Sonny's case, like, being undocumented and him being like, I want to go to college and I can't, because
that was tough.
And it's like, you have all these big important themes, but then you're throwing in these, like, other, and not that you can't have silly moments, but it's like, you gotta pick one, and in the tone of this show, it makes more sense for it to be a raw and authentic, which can still be fun and still be energetic. Like you said, the song right before the blackout ended, that's a very like fun song that has serious elements and is surrounded by a more serious, like, kind of setting. But it's like, that works because I feel like it's more real to the characters and not as, like, trying to, the director or the people behind the scenes trying to produce something, I guess.
Yeah, that is a good point. I think this is maybe a good time to go to spoilers, I think.
Yeah, let's go ahead into the spoiler section.
If you haven't watched In the Heights, or if you don't care about, if you care about spoilers, then don't listen to this section. And just wait till you watch it. It's on HBO Max, so you can do that and then come back and listen. The main big thing to talk about is the ending. But I think there's a couple smaller things to discuss, which one was, I feel like we're being so negative. And again, like, I didn't like this movie as much as some people did. So I feel like in some way I'm overcompensating because, like, so many people are praising it. So I feel like I have to kind of play the devil's advocate, even though I didn't like a lot of stuff. But just quick, I liked a lot. I liked the diversity. I liked a lot of the themes. I thought that there was a lot of heart in it. The first 30 minutes were probably my favorite part. And then the ending.
Same.
And back to negative thoughts. I think a big problem or a big misstep, I don't know if this was in the play, was the putting 3, 2, 1 days till blackout in the title cards. Because it made the blackout seem like it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is going to happen in this blackout? And I feel like the blackout wasn't, I mean, obviously it was a plot point, but I think it could have just happened without needing, like, 3 days till blackout, 2 days till blackout.
Yeah.
It was
like
it was this looming thing.
30 days after blackout. It almost felt like, yeah, I didn't think about it that much when it was happening, but it did kind of, I was like, oh, we're going by this weird timeline. But yeah, that's a good point. Because then it feels like it's outlined. Like, you're kind of watching the editor's outline of, like, trying to set up the story. But you don't really need that outline to experience the story, I guess. Like, they're trying to force the timeline, I guess.
Yeah, and then, like, so the light shut off, which I think that's really cool. I know that that is, like, the end of Act 1 in the play, which is a great idea, when the lights cut out. So, but I think I, since it was so built up, I expected it to be a lot bigger of a deal, and obviously it is, like, a big deal, but it's also not, because it's like just they're shooting up fireworks and, like, fireworks, and that's one of the worst songs in the play. Basically, from the blackout to, like, 15 minutes left, I was done. I was pretty much checked out.
And it just was, like, really dragging at that point. Like, I enjoyed the first 30 to 40 minutes. I thought the first couple numbers were really good. The opening number, I thought, was exciting enough. It wasn't my favorite number, but it, like, pulled me in.
I think subtitles would help. Oh, I didn't, you I might had, have had subtitles. Yeah, I had subtitles. I did not have subtitles. Yeah. And I don't speak Spanish either, so there were some parts where I think it's cool that parts weren't subtitled.
Yeah, it definitely was kind of boring in parts. It dragged a lot.
It didn't need
Once
to be
it
this
hit
long.
That midpoint, especially, it was like, ugh, when is this gonna be over?
Well,
like,
the grandma's song really brought it down. That was like the low point for me.
Yeah, I get what they were and appreciate what they were doing with her number. There were a couple cool things I thought happened in that number. I thought they had some cool light sequences in the like subway. I thought the costume changes were kind of cool. How it was like when she was remembering a different time that their costumes changed. I thought
and that's when like the CGI works and all the big technical stuff works is because it's not real life. It's her imagination.
Yeah, I thought the subway, like where she put her hand on the light beam and it cut back to the subway, I thought that was cool. Because it was kind of this sort of dream sequence for her. So I think it worked in that context. But
the song itself
was so boring. And like, even when all this stuff was happening around her, she was kind of just standing there. Or just like walking. Mm. And I know that she like, obviously she's not going to be dancing or anything like that.
Right.
But maybe more camera movement. I don't know. Like maybe something to, because that camera just kind of stayed in the same spot when that whole sequence was happening. That was a real dragger.
Yeah. Yeah, which sucks, like you said, because I do love the concept. Actually love the concept in the story. And I like how they kind of say it at the end a little bit, like winking at the audience, basically telling you what it was representing. But I think it's fine because it's a musical. So I like the subway thing. I think it's all really cool and a good idea. But the song, I honestly don't know what, like, I know it was about her life, but I didn't hear anything she said because I just was so checked out of the song, which is a real bummer. And so, yeah, after that, like, the only part I really enjoyed besides the very end was the number right before the blackout ends, which I thought that was cool.
A fun number.
And I thought that really actually was probably the most character development you got in the whole movie, because you have characters actually expressing their emotions in the song, which I feel like is kind of the point of Broadway. And so I really did like that song. I thought that was really fun and showed the community too, which I think was an aspect of the movie that was probably maybe not even touched on enough, was like the community of all of these people rather than just like the three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then after the grandma died, they had the candle song, and that was also so boring. So
it was hard because I get what they were trying to do, especially because that's such a big emotional turning point of the film that it's like, I don't like I just wanted it to be more emotional, I guess, gets you more, pulls you into the story more, where it really invests you in his storyline. And then also, like, it just cuts to like 3 days later. It's like 3 days after the blackout.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
you're right. And he's just sitting in bed.
Yeah. And it's like, what just happened? Like, we just had this huge emotional thing, and then we're kind of just falling right back into the story. Like, it just felt, again, tonally off. Like, the tone of it was not in the right place.
Yeah, it was like every time they made a decision, it was like the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not the bad decision, just not the one I would have gone with. Before we talk about the ending, I do want to maybe say too, I think there obviously is an element where we can't totally relate, because I'm sure, like, if you're part of the culture and community and you know a lot of the things they're talking about, even if just speaking Spanish, which I don't speak Spanish, I think there is probably a lot more emotional weight that you can have for the movie, which I think is great. And I think that that's fine that maybe wasn't for me, just because that's not my culture. So I don't know the stories, the rituals, like the traditions. I don't know that stuff. So I'm sure that there are a lot of people that this was very emotional for, which is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm happy for those people, for sure.
So the ending, which I don't know how you feel about the ending, but just to set it up, so we start out on the island that we think is the island where Dominican Republic, and we think that he is on the island. And so you go through the whole movie thinking that he eventually ends up on the island. Did you know that this going in? Did you know when he started on the island that he wasn't actually on the island?
So it's been a long time since I've listened to this show.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years. 5 years, basically, since I've listened to this show. And so I wasn't like when it started, I was like, I think that he stayed, but maybe he left. And I was like, maybe I don't remember the ending. And then I was like,
so
maybe I forget a lot more of this story than I thought I did. Like, that was kind of my process. Yeah. Is there was a lot going on that I just like didn't remember happening. Mm-hmm. But granted, it's not like I ever was like fully invested in this show. Like, it was just like a listen to once or twice and that was it kind of thing.
Right. So you weren't like memorizing the story.
And also, like, I had heard that parts of the story had been changed or had not been included. Like, that had been some of the reviews that I had seen. So I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know how this is going to end, you know? Like, it could go either way.
Yeah, and I think we've established that I am not great at predicting twists. Well, I'm good at predicting twists when I'm not invested in the movie. In this movie, I was just invested enough in that once I'm in that state, I basically just accept what the movie has, which is good because I get to experience all the twists that most people don't because they're smarter than me. But I did really like how there's some issues, obviously, I think mostly because I just don't. I think the character and the chemistry between them, like we said, isn't great. So it could have been definitely way better. But just the execution I thought was great because, at least for me, I obviously thought he was going to end up on the island. And so I'm thinking when he's like, this is his last day, I'm like, why the hell is he leaving? He has no reason. The movie hasn't even given us a reason for him to want to go to this island.
Apart from like this picture of his dad in the best days of my life, like he doesn't even talk about his dad.
Right.
He's like buying his dad's bar and he's not like, oh, I had this memory with my dad. They don't show you any flashbacks of him and his dad. Yeah. Like, the motivation felt was very hard.
I am so dumb because I was thinking like the whole point of the movie was that where he is his dream. This is his family. He can't leave. And then that was obviously the point of the movie. So they did do what I thought they should do. But I thought it was really cool because the movie at least did enough to get me to understand the main theme, which was that the Heights was his home. And that the main theme, I guess, would be that, I don't know, something about your home and community. Mm-hmm. Basic. I'm sure I could word it better if I had time. But so the movie got me to understand the main theme before it really told me the main theme. Because I thought that he was going to the island. I was like, this is so dumb. This movie is stupid. I don't know why they're going to pick this ending. But then they did it. And that really made me happy. And it made me forget a lot of issues. Maybe sometimes I remembered some while we were talking here. But it made me forgive a lot of issues I had up to that point. Because the ending, to me at that point, was so satisfying. Maybe on a rewatch it wouldn't be because I know the ending. But just on this first watch, that ending was very emotionally fulfilling, which I think was something I hadn't felt basically the whole movie, was like any like emotional attachment. I wish I did have better chemistry because it would have been really good because I would have definitely wanted them to get together. But in this, I was like, okay, so I guess they're together now. It wasn't his dream, but it was kind of subverting the trope of like him giving up his quote-unquote dream for the girl rather than her, because like it totally would not have made sense for her to leave because she did have a reason to stay. So I did like the ending. I liked it.
I think I liked the idea of the ending, which is what I've said about the whole movie, is I like the idea of, but I just wasn't sold on them being together, you know what I mean? Like, I was more sold on him staying for Sunny than I was staying
for
her.
For the romance of the town. Like, he was in love with the town, but not
really
her.
Yeah, because I was like, like we said, that champagne scene that happened right before this sequence, basically, you know, just not good. And so I'm like, no, go. Like, you don't need to stay here for her. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, not for her, for the town.
But yeah, but when it comes down to, like, the other things, like, yeah, you should stay and take care of Sonny and, like, help him and be a good role model for him. And you should, like, you know, stay and be around these people that bring you joy and, like, your community.
You don't know anyone there.
And that is the stuff that I wish it would have been included more. Like, I know it kind of was in the scene where he comes back into the bodega.
They could have just made the romance him in love with the Heights.
Because
I think that's what worked. The romance of him
in
love with the girl.
Yeah, but I don't mind the ending. I think it carries a good message as well. And I thought that that was a good... I mean, that was pretty much the central theme between a lot of the plot lines, was leaving this community, leaving the Heights, and what that means for each of the characters to leave or stay in the Heights. And I think that that carried the ending well.
Yeah, like I said, it definitely leaves it on a high note, which if he had left, I would have been done. I would maybe have not even recorded this podcast. That would have been just the worst.
One thing I hated, though, is I hate in movies, and this is like a trope that happens in a lot of movies, the leading line of like, ask your mother, and then the camera like pans to the wife or whatever. And I was like,
gosh.
I just hate that lead because it's like,
because we know who the mother is too.
You know that it's gonna be her, and they're trying to make it this reveal. And that's happened in other movies too, where it's like,
no, yeah,
ask your mother, and then it goes, and it's like, ugh, like.
Also, did you catch the Avengers humor with the crab? That was total Avengers humor, where he's like, I put a crab there, and in the background they're fighting about the crab. Like, who cares about the crab right now? This is not funny. The direction was just wild in this movie.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, because I was curious what you thought, is the opening sequence essentially starts with him breaking the fourth wall. And in the introductory song, he does it multiple times, where I guess they're trying to tell you that he's narrating this story to the kids. I don't really know. But that never happened again. It only happened in the opening number. And so when it first happened, I was like, oh, that's a little weird. Like, we're breaking the fourth wall. Okay. And then it never happened again. And I was like, kind of confused by that.
Here's my theory. So I obviously... If anyone listening has seen the play, obviously correct me if I'm wrong. I think that maybe they added the whole narration to the kids element to the play, because I don't see how they could have pulled that reveal off on stage. And I think the lights up on Washington Heights, like, that is like a very iconic opening.
Uh-huh.
So I think that that is just the opening to the play. And so they have to kind of keep that iconic opening. But if you add on the kid narration, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
As the second thing you see. It works if it's the first thing you see.
Yeah.
Because he's narrating. He's like, narrating to the audience is a Broadway thing. But when we've established he's talking to the kids.
Uh-huh.
But then he's talking to the audience. It's like,
yeah, there were just, that was one of the random weird decisions that just kind of took me out of it personally.
The only other thing I think we haven't touched on, which is the Benny and Nina relationship.
Yeah, I hated it.
Which I think the Nina storyline is actually really good until halfway through, when they just drop it. I'm like, all right, I guess we don't care about her anymore.
Yeah.
But their romance, just, I don't understand it at all.
Yeah. Well, he also looks considerably older than she does.
He looks pretty old.
I don't know. Let me look up their actual age difference.
I'm pretty sure that, because she just got back from freshman year, I think they're supposed to be the same age. So, assumedly, he's supposed to be like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Probably 19. Which he does not look. She could pass for 19 in like a movie. I don't think he looked 19 at all.
Leslie Grace.
They should have made
Sonny
a little older and had her and Sonny get together. He looked about 26.
I think he looks older than that.
It just
he's 32. Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
And he's playing, yeah, he what, a 19-year-old? Like,
yeah, and they were, like, looking back on their youth, like, you're 19. What are you? It's like they were, like, doing, like, this reminiscing, but it's, like, didn't really make sense because she literally left,
like, a year
ago. It just
was very weird. And I think that he did a really good job in that role, but, like, yeah, that really threw me off.
They should have had it be, like, junior year or maybe even sophomore year. Just not, like, she was 19. Have him a little older, like it was 2 or 3 years after
high
school.
Yeah, I mean, I thought... Yeah, I thought her storyline was all right.
Isn't Usnavi... Aren't they all supposed to be the same age? Really?
Well, he's almost 30. That's what he said. Because he was like, was only supposed to be whatever, and now I'm pushing 30.
All right.
I think because
so
he said that Nina is like his younger sister.
Right.
So
okay, I thought they were all the same age just because
no,
they all
I think
look
he's
the same
older
age.
And then I would assume that Vanessa is also like maybe I would say her character is maybe like 24 or 25.
That actually makes me so mad. Like, why can't they cast 19-year-olds as 19-year-olds? Why do they have to cast...
I don't know. I don't understand.
It doesn't even... It messes it up because when they're at the dinner table, I'm like, they look all the same age, so it doesn't really work.
I think the girl that played Nina could pass as a 19-year-old. Maybe if they made her looked a little younger.
Better than
I think
Benny.
They made her look older.
They made her look, like, really old.
But...
Not really.
Yeah,
old, I'm
Benny
sorry.
Cannot
not
pass
really
as that age. And
yeah, I just don't. Why? There are talented 19-year-olds.
Yeah, so many. So it's like, what? I just. Yeah.
They're not even kids. They can work full hours. Why? Ugh.
I mean, at least it's better. It was better than Ben Platt will be in Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man. And with that, I think might want to start
wrapping
up.
I didn't care about Benny and Nina's relationship at all, which could just be a chemistry thing.
Well, and I heard that they're supposedly people were mad because there's like in the play more Benny and Nina stuff. So maybe if they had kept some of that, it would have helped, but I just think it wouldn't have fixed the core issue, which was just
a chemistry
same with
thing.
The other. There's just no chemistry. There was like no romantic chemistry in this whole movie, which really was a bummer because I love romance in musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, it's
I didn't
the core
of
musicals is romance.
Right. I mean, they technically had a romance, but it didn't really feel like they did. Yeah. So that was definitely a lot more negative than most episodes on this movie will be by other podcasters. But, you know, we have to deliver our true feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And this was our true feelings. I will never. This is just. Okay, that's a little much. I most likely will not listen to the soundtrack ever again.
Yeah.
I will probably watch the movie one more time with my mom on HBO Max because it's not worth going to the theater again. But that's probably like it's I was hoping this would be like a summer kind of
moment.
Marker milestone.
Like a summer moment. Yeah.
You know, like the core memories and Inside Out, but just specifically for summer.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping this would be one of those. But it just wasn't. It was actually very forgettable, which is not what I wanted. I wanted it to be not forgettable.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I'll probably the one sequence I would probably want to watch again is the 96,000 sequence.
Yeah.
Just because I thought it was cool, so I would probably watch it on like YouTube or something. I don't know that I will probably revisit this movie. If I'm gonna, because even like usually my go-to is if I'm with like friends, you know. But, like, if I'm with friends...
There's better options.
I would rather be watching a High School Musical. Like,
yes.
Give me a different musical.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only song I really also see myself listening to on the soundtrack is 96,000. So...
Yeah. There you go.
I might pop that one a couple times. But other than that, I think that I... Yeah, I won't revisit this movie.
At least the lead actor could sing is all really that mattered.
Yeah, which
major
I'm so
win
glad.
There.
I'm so glad that I think he was a good casting choice.
Yeah, like I said, like we said, I don't think it was really many of the actors' faults. I think it's crazy that people are saying, oh, Oscar nomination acting. Like, there's no one in this movie that I would even think about nominating for an Oscar.
No.
Maybe Sonny for supporting actor would be, like, the only one I would be like, maybe. But it's just not that kind of movie. It doesn't feel no. like
I'm sure, well, now the Golden Globes aren't, like, happening, right? But,
we could nominate it for ensemble if we wanted to.
It could be. This could be an ensemble film. It could be.
Yeah. Maybe not a winner, but, you know, there are so few nowadays. You have to fill all the slots. I'm very sorry to any In the Heights fans listening.
Yeah.
There's so much potential, too. It wasn't like it was just awful. I just think there was just, like, it was so close to being something special, but it was just not the right decisions made for me.
Yeah, same for me.
On that light note, we'll outro this one. You can email us your thoughts and how mad you are. Just tell us on our email at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com. If you are not too mean, we will maybe read your comments in the next episode, which is another review. Three in a row.
Can you
reviews.
Believe that? Three new movie reviews? We haven't done that since like early 2020 or even 2019.
We're cranking them out. Next one, I think, out of the three, is probably the one that we are going to have the highest expectations for.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't disappoint. And that is going to be Pixar's Luca.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been getting a couple...
mixed reviews is what I've seen.
Yeah, and I think mostly because it's not like... It's pretty straightforward, but I think that's actually a good thing. Because
I think so,
as
too.
As much as I... did enjoy Soul, I think it was in some ways just too much. And so I think a straightforward Pixar story would be actually very welcome right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I would vibe with that.
I'm excited for it. I'm like trying not to get my hopes up too much, but I'm also you know, still staying excited.
I feel like no one's talking about it because it's probably because it's Disney Plus, which is just so sad.
Yeah.
That I feel really bad for the people that made it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find us at other places besides this podcast, you can go to any social media accounts. Just search Secondhand Film Critics and we'll pop up and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. A 5-star review because it very much helps us. That's not how you say that. But it does help get us in people's feeds, I guess, like recommended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Apple Podcasts work because I don't use it.
Yeah. It just like boosts us a little more.
Cool. I'll take your word for it. any final thoughts on In the Heights?
No. I wish I had come up with like a rap or something to end this.
We could just do the outro in a Lin-Manuel Miranda voice.
Until next time. But I was going to like... what's something that rhymes with time?
You could just say rhyme. Dime. Fine would be a half rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
You could get away with it. Crime.
Okay. 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 I got it.
Okay.
And so I think this movie was fine. I would only pay for it just one dime. It could be called a crime against cinema. And that is my... It was only fine. So until next time, I'm Kayla. Sorry, that was so bad. That was so...
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. And we're your
secondhand film critics.
Film critics.